Om Sahana Bhavatu, Sahana Punaktu, Sahaviryam Karavavahai, Tejasvinavatitamastu Mavidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
I'm going to do that a little bit faster.
Okay. Om Sahana Bhavatu, Sahana Punaktu, Sahaviryam Karavavahai, Tejasvinavatitamastu Mavidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
Try and become. Just did it, we'll do it together. The last one, I'll do it at a slower pace, and that'll mean that it's the last one.
Om Trayambakaya Jamahe Sugantim Pushtivartanam Urvarukamiva Bandhanan Mrityor Mukshiyamam Rasata. Om Trayambakaya Jamahe Sugantim Pushtivartanam Urvarukamiva Bandhanan Mrityor Mukshiyamam Rasata. Om Trayambakaya Jamahe Sugantim Pushtivartanam Urvarukamiva Bandhanan Mrityor Mukshiyamam Rasata. Om Trayambakaya Jamahe Sugantim Pushtivartanam Urvarukamiva Bandhanan Mrityor Mukshiyamam Rasata. Om Trayambakaya Jamahe Sugantim Pushtivartanam Urvarukamiva Bandhanan Mrityor Mukshiyamam Rasata. Om Trayambakaya Jamahe Sugantim Pushtivartanam Urvarukamiva Bandhanan Mrityor Mukshiyamam Rasata. Om Trayambakaya Jamahe Sugantim Pushtivartanam Urvarukamiva Bandhanan Mrityor Mukshiyamam Rasata. Om Trayambakaya Jamahe Sugantim Pushtivartanam Urvarukamiva Bandhanan Mrityor Mukshiyamam Rasata.
Let's try Shanno Mitra together. I'll do it slowly. We'll do it a few times. And I'll increase the speed each time.
Om Om Shanno Mitra Shan Varunaha Shanno Pavatvaryama Shanna Indra Brahaspatihi Shanno Vishnurukramaha Namo Brahmane Namaste Vayo Twameva Pratyaksham Brahmasi Twameva Pratyaksham Brahma Vadishyami Ratang Vadishyami Satyang Vadishyami Tanmamavatu Tadvaktaramavatu Avatu Mam Avatu Vaktaram. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Shanno Mitra Shangvarunaha Shanno Pavatvaryama Shanna Indro Brahaspatihi Shanno Vishnurukramaha Namo Brahmane Namaste Vayo Twameva Pratyaksham Brahmasi Twameva Pratyaksham Brahma Vadishyami Ratang Vadishyami Satyang Vadishyami Tanmamavatu Tadvaktaramavatu Avatu Mam Avatu Vaktaram. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Shanno Mitra Shangvarunaha Shanno Pavatvaryama Shanna Indro Brahaspatihi Shanno Vishnurukramaha Namo Brahmane Namaste Vayo, Twameva Pratyaksham Brahmasi, Twameva Pratyaksham Brahma Vadishyami, Ratan Vadishyami, Satyam Vadishyami, Tanmamavatu, Tadvaktaramavatu, Avatu Mam, Avatu Vaktaram. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
But from this one, repeat after me.
Om Padram Karne Bishrinuyama Devaha. Om Padram Karne Bishrinuyama Devaha. Padram Pashe Makshabhir Yajatraha. Padram Pashe Makshabhir Yajatraha. Stirai Rangai Istushtu Vagum Sastanupihi. Stirai Rangai Istushtu Vagum Sastanupihi. Vyashema Devahitam Yadayuhu. Vyashema Devahitam Yadayuhu. Swastina Indro Vrittashravaha. Swastina Indro Vrittashravaha. Swastina Pusha Vishwavedaha. Swastina Pusha Vishwavedaha. Swastina Starsho Arishtanemihi. Swastina Starsho Arishtanemihi. Swastino Brahaspatir Tathatu. Swastino Brahaspatir Tathatu. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
Let's see if we can do it together. Om. Just trying to raise the shruti.
Om Om Padram Karne Pishrinuyama Devaha. Padram Pashye Makshabhir Yajatraha. Stirai Rangai Istushtu Vagum Sastanupihi. Vyashema Devahitam Yadayuhu. Swastina Indro Vrittashravaha. Swastina Pusha Vishwavedaha. Swastina Starksho Arishtanemihi. Swastino Brahaspatir Tathatu. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
Repeat after me.
Om Padram Karne Pishrinuyama Devaha.
Om Padram Karne Pishrinuyama Devaha.
Om Padram Karne
Sorry, let me do it again.
Om Padram Karne Pish.
Om Padram Karne
Pishrinuyama Devaha. Padram Pashe.
Padram Pashe.
Padram Pashe Makshabhir.
Padram Pashe Makshabhir.
Yajatraha.
Yajatraha.
Padram Pashe Makshabhir Yajatraha.
Padram Pashe Makshabhir Yajatraha.
Padram Pashe Makshabhir Yajatraha.
Padram Pashe Makshabhir Yajatraha.
Makshabhir down. Makshabhir Yajatraha.
Makshabhir Yajatraha.
Stirai Rangai.
Stirai Rangai.
Stushtu Vagam.
Stushtu Vagam.
Sastanupihi.
Sastanupihi.
Stirai Rangai Stushtu Vagum Sastanupihi.
Stirai Rangai Stushtu Vagum
Sastanupihi. That Anuswara is somewhere between u and a. So,
stirairangai istishtu vagum sestanul bihi.
Hear that?
Stirairangai istishtu vagum sestanul bihi. Vyashema devahitam yadayuhu.
That's a nasalized anuswara.
Vyashema devahitam Vyashema devahitam yadayuhu. Vyashema devahitam.
Sometimes you'll hear it like this.
Vyashema devahitam. Vyashema devahitam yadayuhu. Vyashema devahitam yadayuhu. Swastina Indro.
Swastina Indro.
Vridashravaha.
Vridashravaha.
Swastina Pusha.
Swastina Pusha.
Vishwavedaha.
Vishwavedaha.
Swastina Starksho.
Swastina Starksho.
Arishtanemihi.
Arishtanemihi.
Swastino Brahaspatir Tathatu.
Swastino Brahaspatir Tathatu.
Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi.
This is what we're doing in the Shantipata that goes with the Mundaka Upanishad, so we'll be doing it for a long time. Let's just go one more time together, and then we'll be working on this every week for the next 2 years.
Om Om Bhadran Karne Tishvinu Yama Devaha. Padram Pashe Makshapir Yajatraha Stirai Rangai Istushtu Vagum Sastanu Pihi Vyashema Devahitam Yadayuhu Swastina Indro Vrittashravaha Swastina Pusha Vishwavedaha Swastina Starksho Arishtanemihi Swastino Brahaspatir Tadatu. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
Now, Karamana, from now on, I think we're just going to try to do it together and then have to work with it on your own. Let's try it.
Om Om Na Karmana Na Prajayatane Na Tyage Naike Amritatvamana Shuhu Parena Na Kannihitam Guhayam Viprajate Yadyatayo Vishanti Vedanta Vijnana Sunishchitartha Sanyasa Yoga Vyataya Shuddha Sattva Te Brahma Loke Tu Para Anta Kale Paramratat Parimuchanti Sarve Dahram Vipapam Parame Eshma Putain Yat Pundarikam Puramadya Sakkastam Tatrapi dahram gaganam vishokastasmin yadantas tadupasitavyam. Yo veda dao swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitah. Tasya prakriti linasya yav parasa maheshwarah. Na tatra suryo bhati na chandra tarakam. Nema vidyuto bhanti kuto yamagnihi tameva bhantamanupati sarvam tasya bhasa sarvamitam vibhati.
All right. Everybody okay?
I have lost one.
Yes.
We were speaking.
Yes.
And in
last word is the.
Yes.
Alam. Why do we say the?
In chanting, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
In chanting, when there's a danda, it's the end of a. But very often, usually, in fact, the vowels will be elongated, even if they're short. And the dental ta, what you want to say, mamratat,
yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. But just by convention, mm-hmm. what they will say is mamratat. There's a ta. Instead of tat, there's a gentle ta there. And it's not just for this. It's whenever the sentence ends in a dental ta, instead of being tat, where you chop it, there'll be like that.
Okay, it's the same in Gayatri Mantra also.
Yeah.
I was not sure what how we should pronounce that.
Up. Yeah, it's not ta. You're not doing a full ta. But it's ta. Amrita-a-ta. So instead of it just stopping, there's this little extra syllable there.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not just here, it's all the way through. And you also notice, because this might also be confusing, is to hear the elongation of the vowels. If something ends in a vowel and it's a short vowel, it'll be elongated, and that again is just convention.
Just for chanting.
Yeah, just for chanting.
It's more musical. Thing.
Yeah,
it's more musical.
Yeah. Yeah, it's musical. Yeah. Well, that's almost like saying G behind the
music. It's more musical than
taking your G. Yeah, like your G or also G.
Anybody else have any questions? Okay, let's do. I'm trying to. Get us familiar with all of the Shantipathas that we normally, at least in India and if Swamiji's teaching the Buddha Sutras, we'll always chant this whole list of Shantipathas. So I want to go through them. This one happens to be, the next two we're going to learn are from the Taittiriya Upanishad. And the first one, this is Chandasa. Is something that's repeated over and over as kind of a mantra in order to get Bhagavan's grace for metta shakti, good memory, for clarity of mind, good memory for the increased intelligence, all of that. And so it's something that we often chant.
Yeah, we all need that one. Huh?
You can chant it, repeatedly chant it. The second half, which we're not learning of this, because this is normally for sannyasis or people who are studying Vedanta, this is the part that we normally chant. But if we were to chant in the Taittiriya Upanishad the second half, then it goes on to ask also for prosperity and that type of thing. But just by convention, for now, we'll just learn this part.
The prosperity is after?
Yeah. This first part, it asks for, well, you'll see, I'll go through and translate it for you. It asks for all, for knowledge. For clarity of knowledge, basically. This is Taittiriya Upanishad, so it goes on, right? So the second part of it will ask for prosperity, and then I think the third part asks that many students will come to you and that type of thing. It's very beautiful. But this is the one that is normally chanted before, say, a class or for students who are trying to gain this knowledge.
This is part of the Taittiriya Upanishad?
Yes.
You mean as an introduction? Or as
no, it's just it's right in the middle of the Taittiriya Upanishad, but it's often chanted by itself. Okay. Just like the Namasteas to Bhagavan that we do is right in the middle of the Rudra.
Oh.
Yeah. So actually, it's not in the middle of the Rudra, it's near the beginning. So let's, before I... Maybe I'll just chant this to you so you can hear it, then we'll go through, I'll break the Sunday, we'll take a look at it, what it means. Om yaschandasam rishabho vishvarupaha chando pyo dhyamrata atsam papuva samendro metaya aspranotu amratasya devadharano bhuyasam shariram me vicharshanam Jehwa me matumattama karna abhyam puri vishruvam brahmana koshosi metaya pihitaha shrutam me gopaya om shanti shanti shanti. So now, this mantra is really in praise of the Om, the pranava, the symbol Om. So here, let me just break the sandhi line by line. Om, yaha, chandasam, rishabaha, vishwarupaha, yaha, chandasam, rishabaha, vishwarupaha. Chandobhyaha adhi amratat sambhuva. Chandobhyaha adhi amratat sambhuva. If somebody doesn't see the sandhi, ask me, okay? Saha ma indraha medhaya sprinotu. Amritasya deva dharanaha bhuyasam. Shariram me vicharshanam. Jehwa me matumatama. Oops.
Oops.
Jehwa me matumatama. Okay, I'll check something in a minute. Should be Uttama. I have to check something. Okay, let's look. Maybe I have a typo here. Karna Bhyam Bhuri Vishruvam Brahmanaha Koshaha Asi Metaya Vihitaha Shrutam Me Gopaya. Okay, I'll have to. There's something all of a sudden I blanked out of my grammar. It seems to be right on here.
There's something that looks funny in this.
That's right. Okay, now I know where it came from. Okay.
So there's no typo.
No typo. I was thinking it should be Uttama, but it's a superlative. It's another formation, so I know what it is. Okay, let's take a look at this now. First line. Yaha. Now, the yaha is referring to the omkara, to the word om. Yaha, the one who. Chandasam. The word is chandas. Chandas is another word for the Vedas. Chandasam is in the genitive plural. you'll learn that, like Rama Nam, that Om, Chandasam is genitive plural. So of the Vedas, Rishabha, Rishabha is a bull. Bull, if you say the bull among the Vedas, it means the strongest, the most exalted.
Bull?
B-U-L-L, a bull.
Bull.
B-U-L-L, a bull. That the one who is a bull among the Vedas means the most powerful, the most strong. It's an image that they use. So you who are the bull, nominative singular, Rishabha, among the Vedas, of being used to, of all the Vedas, you are the Rishabha, you are the bull. Vishwarupaha, your form, your rupa is Vishwa, means you pervade everything. Vishwa means all, the whole universe is Vishwa. And this Omkara, the understanding here is this. The Omkara, when you break it into its syllables, a, u, m, and then the silence that surrounds it for the Omkara, the word Om encompasses the entire creation. That's one thing, okay? Where the is the physical, Vishwarupa, it's Virat, it's the physical universe. U is the subtle, Hiranyagarbha. Mm-mm is the causal, Prajna. Okay? Now, the silence is Brahman. So the Om comes from Brahman, right? Means the whole creation comes from Brahman, is sustained by Brahman, and resolves into Brahman. There's another thing to understand about the Omkara. When you say the letter A, and Om is composed of A, U, M, because the O is a diphthong composed of A and U, right? So A, U, M. When you say the letter A, that is basically the first sound. The first sound, because nothing, that the voice, vocal system is doing nothing. You just open your mouth, and if you open your mouth and blow A over the vocal cords, blow air over the vocal cords, you'll get A. So it's the first sound. M is the last sound. If we look at the vocal system, starting with the throat, the palatal, you know, the lingual, the dental, the labial. So between A and M are all sounds. So when we say Vishwarupaha, even the Omkara itself includes all sounds, A being the beginning, M being the last. So when it says O Om, we referring to the Om now. You are the bull of among the Vedas, all of the Vedas. Your form, your rupa, is Vishwa. It encompasses all. Okay, so see that? U is also in the middle. If we go from the guttural to the palatal to the lingual to the labial, then U. If you just say it, do you see it?
Yeah.
To feel it inside. Okay. So Vishwarupa. Vishwa means the all.
Yeah, there's a progression there.
That's right. Now, Chandobhyaha, from Chandas. So you're not going to recognize all of these declensions, but the Bhyaha you can recognize. Ablative, plural, Chandobhyaha, from the Vedas. Adit is a preposition that's going to go over to the verb, which is sambhabhuva. In Sanskrit, even classical Sanskrit, but especially you'll find it often in Vedic Sanskrit, where the preposition, it's called the upasarga. You've seen many of like adi, upa, ni, a, anu, pra. All of these upasargas, you normally see them attached to the verb. Sometimes they're not attached to the verb. Like especially like anu, adi, ati, prati. A lot of times you'll see them in the sentence separated from the verb. So here it's adi sambhabhuva. So that would leave you then with chandobhyaha, from the Vedas, plural, from the Vedas, because there's four Vedas, amritat, which are immortal. Amrita means immortal, free from death. Each Veda, this amritat here is in the ablative singular, like Ramat. Each Veda is immortal. All of the Vedas together, they are immortal. Not they are immortals. All the whole group of the Vedas, each those Vedas, they are amritat and ablative. So from the Vedas, which are immortal, sambhabhuva, You have been born, the Om has been born, has come into being, has been come into being from the Vedas. Some Adit Sambhubhuva means preempt, that with the Adi there, it means like it preeminently has come into being out of the Vedas. You see it? Okay. Now, sa, ma, that. Now we're referring to that omkara, that which is Indra, sa, ma, Indraha. Indra is a name for one of the devatas, who was the leader of all of the devatas. Saha, ma, me, to me. Indraha, nominative singular. Medha, with Medha. Medha is the intelligence, good memory, brightness of mind. So Medha includes both memory and intelligence. Medha. Medha is instrumental, feminine instrumental singular, with Medha. So we're just, often we call it Medha Shakti. So think of Medha as the word itself, Medha, that which includes intelligence, brightness of mind, and good memory.
So it's more than just memory.
Yeah. Sa ma indraha medya spranotu. Grant me. Or make me strong. But we're taking it as grant spranotu. May Indra grant me, bless me. In English you say, may Indra gratify me or bless me, medha, with Medha, instrumental singular. Spranotu is in the imperative case, that to end, and you haven't learned that yet. So may Indra bless, we can say grant me, give me, may, if I read the Bhasha, which I had read the Bhasha earlier, it says grant me, gratify me with, nourish me with, they give synonyms, right? Or make me strong, strengthen me with Medha. Okay. Then, Amritasya Deva Dharanaha Bhuyasam. Deva, like Rama, O Lord, spoken of Deva. Amritasya, of immortality, Amritasya, genitive singular, of immortality, Dharanaha, bearing or holding. Bhuyasam, may I become. Bhuyasam, may I become dharanaha, one who is, because that becomes, it's an adjective, but it becomes the noun in the sentence. It means one who is doing this. May I become one who is holding, is bearing, is a carrier of immortality. It means may I gain that knowledge, is what's being said. O Lord, Deva, amritasya dharanaha, may I be holding, bearing, carrying this immortality. May I gain that knowledge, is the idea. Amritasya Deva, Dharanaha Bhuyasam. May I become one who is doing has this. Shariram, neuter noun, nominative singular, me vicharshanam. The body, my body, my vicharshanam. And this Bhuyasam is now, you have to translate it yourself into the third person. It's just taken for granted here that Bhuyasam is something that goes all the way, but in Bhuyasam originally is in the nominative singular, so we're going to have it be Bhuyat. May my body become Vicharshanam, something that is strong and able and healthy. Vicharshanam. Strong, able, healthy. All of these words are synonyms. Jihwa me, matumattama. May my tongue, jihwa, may my tongue, that's bhuya, may my tongue become madhumattama. That's superlative. It means the most sweet. Madhum, that tama, you see that tama there? It's going to be tama because of the jihwa is feminine, adjectival. That tama affix means superlative, the most. You know, if I say good, better, best. So that's what we mean by superlative. The most sweet. in some way of saying, you know, may my speech be something which is beautiful and sweet. Karana pyam. Karana's ears. Dual, two ears. By my ears, buddhi. Buddhi is an indeclinable. It means a lot. Vishruvam. May what I hear, Vishruvam, with my ears be much. In other words, if you're reading the Bhasha on this, since these chants are chanted before an Upanishad begins, it's all in reference to gaining knowledge. May I hear clearly with Shraddha. May I understand everything that's being said. So may I become one who's for whom what is being said, what is being heard, is much by my ears. So may I hear a lot, okay, with my ears. May I hear much with my ears.
Becomes pyam?
The become is buyat, which is something that's being added to each one of these.
Oh, okay. What was the pyam?
Pyam is pyam, karana pyam, is the dual form of the instrumental. It's actually the dual form of the instrumental, dative and ablative. Remember? Mm-hmm. Ramena, rama, pyam, uramahi, rama, pyam, so it's dual. Instrumental dual. So with my ears, by my two ears, may I be one who hears much.
I said kana is ear. That's kana is not ears.
Karana.
Yeah.
But it's karana pyam. Karana is ear. Uh-huh. Karana pyam means two ears. It's dual.
Oh,
a dual.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, got it. Okay.
Okay. Brahmanaha koshaha asi. You are the covering of Brahman. You are Brahman's dress, Om. It's really beautiful. You say Om, the word Om is the covering, is what covers, like a kosha. Well, a kosha is like a sheath. That word Om is holding Brahman. So the word Om is a covering, a sheath for Brahman. So, Brahmanaha koshaha asi, of Brahman, a genitive, right? Brahmanaha, genitive. Koshaha asi, you are the kosha, the sheath for Brahman. Metaya pihitaha. I have to look at pihita. I think that which is filled, I'm going to look that up, that which is filled with medha, with intelligence. Let me look at pihita, I don't remember.
But this medha implies memory and intelligence as a unit.
Yeah, and brightness. Memory and, in India, memory and intelligence go together.
So you can be intelligent with no memory in me.
You can just have no memory. Intelligent. You think you're smart.
That's true.
Let me finish this and I'll go look at the... I'll do it. Take a break and do that. Shrutam me gopaya. Everybody see that? I'm going to look up pita. Shrutam, that which is heard for me, for the protection of me. Of me. Say me is of me. Genitive singular. Gopaya. For the protection of me. May what is heard protect me. Be for my protection. Shrutam means what is heard. That which is heard, past passive participle, we haven't learned it yet, shrutam, may for me or of me, genitive singular, gopaya, for the protection, dative singular, like ramaya, for the protection of me. May what is heard be for the protection, be for my protection. Protect. In English, we'd say, let what I have learned. Shrutam really means, when you say shrutam, heard, Shrutam, because it's coming from the Shruti, so what is heard is what the teacher is teaching. So what I have heard, it means what I have, may let what I have learned protect me. Okay? Everybody see it? Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. So let's take a little break. I can look at this pihita and get that correctly, and then we'll chant it a little bit, and then we'll move on. Okay? We can do a car.
Gopaya, Gopya, can it be Gopya, secretly?
That's a and the word I know for that is the word I know for secrecy is guha. Guha. I'll look it up and see. Yeah.
Let's take a little break.
All right, let's get back to what we were doing.
Again, translating now the Yaschanda Sa. You go again to the third line. Brahmanaha koshaha asi medhya vihitaha. You are a kosha, a sheath for Brahman. Then medhya, with intelligence, pihitaha. You are covered by medha. Shankara translates here, medha still means, you know, intelligence. But he translates this, because of the context, as laukika prajna, which means worldly wisdom. So you are covered by, pihitaha comes from pida, and he uses that, translates that as acharitaha, which means to be covered by. You are covered by worldly wisdom, which is true. Right, that's the whole samsara, all the worldly wisdom of Bhagavan's creation is covering you. Okay, so medhya pihitaha, really beautiful. Past passive participle for pihitaha from pida, which you haven't learned past passive participles yet. Okay, and then the shrutam, what is her, yeah?
Okay, I think I'm not quite understanding. So in the first context, the
Brahmaha koshaha asi, you are the kosha, like the sheath, you know, the sheath of a sword for Brahman, which means the name, Om, you are Brahman's name. You are the name for Brahman. That's the idea there. And then the asi, again, you are, pihitaha, covered by medhaya, wisdom. And here, by medha, is literally what it says.
Worldly.
But if you go into the Bhasha, he will expound on that and say worldly wisdom.
What?
we'll leave it there, Ed, and I'll do an unfoldment later, okay?
Okay.
Shrutam me gopaya. Shrutam, past passive participle, what is heard, that which is heard, me, for me, to of me, gopaya. Gopa means to protect, and I looked it up. In Hindi, gopa is often used in the sense of to hide or conceal, and in the dictionary it has both meanings. Gopa, to protect, for protection, and gopa, for hiding or concealing. And I was mentioning that in the Shastra, when the word gopa is or goop, comes from the root goop, is more often used in the sense of protecting, and the word guh, G-U-H, is more often used for the sense of hiding and concealing. But both are correct. But here, in the context, may what is heard be for my protection. Okay? For the protection of me. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. So let's just do chanting a couple of lines of this, because I want to move on. We're not going to learn the whole thing today. Okay. So at least we've got the translation today. So repeat after me. I can clear my throat.
That's the one we just did, right?
Yeah. Om Yaschandasam.
Om Yaschandasam.
Om Yaschandasam Rishabho.
Om Yaschandasam Rishabho
Vishwarupaha
Vishwarupaha.
Om Yaschandasam Rishabho Vishwarupaha.
Om Yaschandasam Rishabho Vishwarupaha.
Om Yaschandasam Rishabho Vishwarupaha.
Om
Yaschandasam Rishabho
Vishwarupaha.
Om yas chandasam rishapo vishvarupaha.
Om yas chandasam rishapo vishvarupaha.
Chando pyo.
Chando pyo.
Jamrita at.
Jamrita
at.
Jamrita
at. You know, I think I'm making, I made this jya more of a jya. It's jya. So, see where it says chando pyo jamrita at. It's not jamrita at. Jya. Short a. Jamrita at. Oh, let's see. Chando pyo jamrita at. Sambhapuva.
Sambhapuva.
Chando pyo jamrita at. Sambhapuva.
Chando pyo jamrita at.
Sambhapuva. Chando pyo jamrita at sambhapuva.
Chando pyo jamrita at sambhapuva.
Samendro metaya at.
Samendro metaya at.
Spranotu.
Spranotu.
Samendro metaya at. 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 Spranotu.
Om yas chandasam rishabho vishvarupaha.
Om yas chandasam rishabho vishvarupaha.
Chando pyo jamrita at sambhapuva.
Chando pyo jamrita at sambhapuva.
Samindro metaya at pranotu.
Samindro metaya at pranotu.
Okay. We'll stop there and work on it next week. More chanting next week. I wanted just to give you a little flavor of it. Okay, we're now going to spend a few minutes on Avabodha. Okay, let's see, with Avabodha. We are. Is everybody doing okay? Okay. I was packing all this in on you quite a bit. Let's see. I think we're on verse 12, right?
We didn't learn our numbers yet.
That's true. I need the teacher does.
Did you hand out a worksheet last week?
You don't have it? Okay, everybody, we're on verse 12 now. Atma Bodha. I'm going to break this and read it with a Sunday broken. Panchi Krita. Mahabhuta Sambhavam Karma Sanchitam Shariram Sukha Dukhanam Bhoga Ayatanam Uchate. Panchikrita Mahabhuta Sambhavam Karma Sanchitam Shariram Sukadukanam Bhoga Ayatanam Uchate. Okay. Panchikrita. See the longing Panchikrita? This is a formation that when a word
a compound ends with krita or bhuta, a form of kri or bhu. It means being made of that, you know, having that for its nature, something like this. Panchi krita means that which has been made, krita, fivefold, into five, literally. Panchi krita, that which has been made, krita, into five. It's a special construction that you'll learn later, but just know, krita means made, pancha means five. Panchi krita, that which has been made into five. So panchi krita, and we'll see in a minute, it's also a technical term. Mahabhuta, the Bhutas are the elements, space, air, fire, water, earth. The Mahabhutas are the subtle elements. The subtle elements that have not yet gone through this process that we call Panchikrita. Okay? So the Mahabhutas are the subtle elements. The Panchikrita Mahabhutas are the subtle elements that have now gone through the process of becoming fivefold. Let me remind you what this Panchikrita, or also called Panchikarana, is. The subtle elements, space, air, fire, water, earth, are in their pure form. Their space is space only. Fire is fire only. So that's what makes them subtle. When they go through a process of becoming fivefold, Panchikrita, it's also called Panchikaranam, as the noun. They go through Panchikaranam, the making into five. Each subtle element divides in half. And then 1/8 of, they say, the bottom half, if you visualize, a rectangle of space, divide it in half, and then take an eighth, divide that bottom half into four quarters, which would be eighths, right? Because you've got the top half, so you take an eighth of each one of those and give it to the other four. And each element does this. So then each element, space, would therefore be 50% space, and then 1/8 air, 1/8 fire, 1/8 water, 1/8 earth. And that's 50% water, and then 1/8 of all of the others, 50% air, 1/8 of all of the others, like that. You see what 50%, yeah, that's that thing.
Is that a process, or some kind of process?
Yeah. It's a process. Process that we call Panchikarana is what converts the subtle elements into physical elements. So the physical space that you perceive through your sense organs is what you're perceiving here is considered gross, you know, stula, gross. What makes it gross is that this isn't pure space, 50% space, and then 1/8 of the other four elements. When we perceive the earth, 50% earth, 1/8 of all of the other elements.
Is
sukshma.
And maha, are they considered to be the same thing?
We'll get into that. But the sukshma sharira, or say for the mind, is made of these subtle elements. Right now we're only going to deal with the gross elements, but the subtle elements are the mahabhutas.
Do we get a chance to experience the subtle elements?
A thought in your mind is just the subtle elements. The sense organs themselves are just the subtle elements. But a good way to say, if you have a thought, a vritti in your mind, an image in your mind, those are made of the Mahabhutas.
Oh.
There's a difference between a thought in your mind and your perception of physical objects, right?
So the space in my mind is subtle.
Yeah.
I got a lot of it.
Okay.
But
sorry.
You're very subtle.
It's interesting that maha immediately went great, but in this case, it's the subtle of it.
Yeah. Well, the mahabhutas, you could say the five great elements if you want.
Yeah.
You know, the five elements in their pure form, which go through a process of panchikarana in order to become stula or gross. So let's look at what this is. Panchikrita Mahabhuta Sambhavam. Sambhavam means to birth or production. When it's at the end of a compound, it will actually often mean that which is, you translate that which is produced or that which is born of, Sambhavam. The five subtle elements, the Mahabhuta,
which have gone through the process of panchikaranam. So that which is born of the five subtle elements which have become fivefold. But you should know panchikrita as a technical term. Instead of saying what that which has become fivefold, you would say that which has gone through the process of panchikarana, which is becoming fivefold, where each element is 50% of itself and an eighth of all the other four. Okay? Okay, so panchikrita mahabhuta sambhavam, that which is produced or born of the five subtle elements that have become fivefold, panchikrita. Karma sanchitam. Now, if you remember, there's three types of karma. The sanchita karma, the prarabdha karma, and the agami karmas. The sanchita karma is the entire collection of karma, we say like in your account, that is not yet fructified. The prarabdha karmas are those karmas which have are in the process of fructifying in this birth. The agami karmas are the karmas that you collect. So if we say that which belongs to, that which is of the sanchitta karma, you can here take sanchitta in terms of that sanchitta karma, because the physical body does come from the sanchitta karma. And when it does come from the sanchitta karma, it's coming in the form of the prarabdha karma. Once the sanchitta karma manifests as the physical body, then that becomes, that's group of sanchitta becomes the prarabdha karma. But the prarabdha karma that's responsible for the physical body is from the sanchitta. The word sanchitta actually means like a heap or a collection. So you could say that which comes, I would just say that which is born, that which is from the sanchitta, the collection of karma, but know that it means the sanchitta karma, what we call sanchitta karma. Another way is you can take sanchitta as rachitam, and that means that which is made of, that which is composed of karma, made of karma. But since sanchitta karma is such a well-known term, and the physical body is from the sanchitta karma, then you can look at it that way. And if you were to be just teaching it, you would just say all of the different things I've said, and throw in several more sentences. Okay. Shariram means physical body, the body. It actually means just body, the body, because you can have the stula shariram means physical body, or sukshma sharira means subtle body, or kalana sharira means the causal body. So shariram, the body. Shariram is in the neuter nominative singular. Neuter shariram, you don't know if it's going to be neuter or if it's going to be nominative or accusative. It'll be the same. So the shariram, the sharira, the body, the shariram, which is produced or born of the five subtle elements which have undergone panchikarana, and is from the karma, the sanchitta karma. Okay. Then sukha dukkha nam, like rama nam, genitive plural, of sukha and dukkha, pleasure and pain. Bhoga means enjoyment. Ayatanam means the seat, or the sthana, the place. The physical body is the ayatana, the sthana, the place, for the bhoga, for the enjoyment of sukha and dukkha. So sukha and dukkha is a compound there, and it's called a dvandva compound, where we would say, if we were to break the compound, you would say not sukha dukkha, you would say sukha and dukkha. Then if you look at the genitive ending of sukha and dukkha, sukha dukkha nam, of sukha and dukkha. Then you see another compound, bhoga and ayatanam. So now, what is the relationship between bhoga ayatanam, where ayatanam means the sthana, the place, or the abode, and bhoga means enjoyment? So now you have enjoyment, place. In your mind, if you were to think enjoyment, place, what do they mean? The place of enjoyment. So there's what we call a sixth case, a shashti, sixth case relationship there. So it's a type of compound. You haven't learned compounds yet. So bhoga ayatanam. You haven't learned compounds, but we've been reading compounds. And so what you have to understand here is that when there's a compound, you have to provide the relationship between the words. So here all you see is, okay, you have bhoga
an ayatanam. The ayatanam, that im ending, is going to be in the nominative singular to be adjectival to sharirum, which is a nominative singular.
Is it nominative or accusative?
Nominative. I'll show you. Sharirum is neuter noun. I'll tell you why in a minute. If you look at here, I'll tell you why right now. Do you see this uchite? Mm. This is passive. It means is called or is said. It comes from vach, uchite. That means what is normally in the accusative will be in the nominative. The sharirum, the body, is called. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. So sharirum now is in the, and in the neuter, the nominative, accusative, singular are the same. Right? So here's the sharirum uchite. So the sharirum, the physical, the body, is called. Mm-hmm. Right? So the uchite means is called. It's passive construction. So now if we look at panchi krita maha bhuta sambhavam, that's one word. It's a compound. That's in nominative singular. Karma sanchitam, nominative singular. Shariram, nominative singular. Sukha dukkhanam, genitive plural. And that is going to be related to what comes after it. Bhogayatanam, the counter or the seat of enjoyment. The seat of enjoyment of sukha and dukkha. Okay? So the shariram, which is born of the five subtle elements which have gone through the process of panchikaranam, which is comes from the sanchitta karma, that sharira is the center, is called the center, I mean the seat, the ayatana, for the enjoyment of sukha and dukkha.
They have enjoyment for sukha.
See, bhoga means it enjoyment in the sense of you're going to experience it.
Okay.
So bhoga, the enjoy, we say for the enjoyment or for the experience. Mm-hmm. Bhoga usually means, comes from bhuj, it means to partake of something.
Oh, okay. Because enjoyment of dukkha is kind of a bummer. So it's, what was it again?
For the experience of sukha and dukkha. The counter for the experience of sukha and dukkha. Okay. Now, let's chant it, and then we're going to take a break and start the Sanskrit class.
Sanskrit stuff.
Peter's
giving me a bad time.
All right. Everybody's
going to be here.
Okay, let's go. let's see if I can get the water. Panchi krita mahabhutam bhuta sam panchi krita mahabhuta sambhavam karma sanchitam shariram sukha dukkhanam bhoga yatanam uchyate. I always change the raga because I have no control over it whatsoever. That's why you get whichever one comes out, if best I can do. Sorry. So this is the one that's going to be for today. Okay. I don't have a right kind of view. Okay. Om Panchi Krita Mahabhuta.
Om Panchi Krita Mahabhuta.
Sambhavam Karma Sanchitam.
Sambhavam Karma Sanchitam.
Shariram Sukha Dukkhanam.
Shariram Sukha Dukkhanam.
Bhoga Yatanam Uchyate.
Bhoga Yatanam Uchyate.
Panchi Krita Mahabhuta. Sambhavam karma sanchitam.
Sambhavam karma sanchitam.
Shariram sukha dukkhanam.
Shariram sukha dukkhanam.
Bhoga yatanam uchyate.
Bhoga yatanam uchyate.
Okay. Go to your, spend a couple of more minutes on this. Go, go to the first verse. Just for reading practice. I seem to have lost my voice. Mm. Vihipsina papanam shantanam vitaraginam. Tato bhikshina papanam shantanam vitaraginam. Umukshu nam apekshoyam atma bodho vidiyate. Umukshu nam apekshoyam atma bodho vidiyate. Bodhonya sadhanebhyohi Sakshan mokshaika sadhanam Pakasya vannivatjnanam Vina mokshona siddhyati Avirodhitaya karma Na vidyam vinivartayet Tejas timirasankavat Parichinna Ivagnanat Tannashetatikevalaha Swayam prakashate yatma Megapayam shumaniva Jalam kritikarenuvat Samsara swapnatulyohi Ragadveshadisankulaha Svakale satya vadbhati Prabodhe satya sadbhavet Tavat satyam jagadbhati Shuktikarajatanyata Yavanna jnayate brahma Sarvadishtanam advayam Upadane khilathare Jaganti parameshware Sarvastiti layanyanti Buddhudani vavarini Satchiratmanyanusyute Nitye vishnaprakalpitaha Vyaktayo vividasarvaha Hatake katakadivat Yatakasho hrishikeshaha Nano padigato vibhu Tadbedhadbinnavadbhati Tannashe kevalopavet Nano padigashateva Nano padivashateva
Nano padivashateva
Jati nama
Jati nama shramadiyah.
Jati nama shramadiyah.
Atman yaro pitastoye.
Atman yaro pitastoye.
Rasavarnati pedavat.
Rasavarnati pedavat.
Panchikrita mahabhuta.
Panchikrita mahabhuta.
Sampavankarma sanchitam.
Sampavankarma
sanchitam.
Shariram sukha dukkhanam.
Poga yatanamuchyate.
For
this verse, we're incorrectly breaking a sandhi there. Swamiji usually won't do it. Because if you listen to the pada is divided, the pada, the quarter, is dividing in the middle of a compound. You see that? Panchi krita maha bhuta. It's dividing in the middle of a compound. So if Swamiji were doing this, he would not do that. He would say, Panchi krita maha bhuta sampavam karma sanchitam. You just have to do the whole line. So let's try that. Panchi krita maha bhuta sampavam karma sanchitam.
Panchi krita maha
bhuta sambhavam karma sanchitam.
Panchi krita maha bhuta sambhavam karma sanchitam.
Shariram sukha dukkhanam.
Shariram sukha dukkhanam.
Bhoga yatanamuchyate.
Bhoga yatanamuchyate.
Okay, good.
So where do you separate the compound? Where's the last separated compound versus running it all in one line?
Well, usually you'll chant the whole line. Usually a compound isn't going to go around to the next line, right? It usually will be contained on the one line. But if it does go around, just conventionally, you usually chant the whole thing until the compound is completed. Right, and so that's why I chanted the whole line instead of breaking it into quarters. We can also break it, you know, but then I always feel if I'm breaking it, I at least have to tell you that I'm breaking this word in the middle of a compound.
No, but what I mean is, like, for example, here you have like one line.
Yes.
Yeah. Here you have like three sections. So what determines that you have three sections and that the second line is also not one line?
You have to know two things. You have to know your vocabulary. Mm-hmm. And you have to know the ending. And in a compound, there is no ending between the words of a compound. In a compound, the ending, the grammatical ending, like Ramaha, Rama, Ram, those endings, are only put in the last member. And so if you know the endings, and you know the meaning of the words, then you know this is a compound, just have the endings until the end. That's how you know. Whereas, sometimes because of sandhi, many words look as though one long word because by sandhi the words are joined, even though they all have grammatical endings.
Right.
Yeah, and so if they're joined by sandhi, there's no problem at all in breaking it. You just break the sandhi. But with a compound, the compound is viewed as one word.
Uh-huh.
Grammatically, it's one word. So say if we had a word like breakfast, the word break fast, breakfast, and da-da-da-da-da-da, break fast, da-da, you end one quarter with break, and you start another one with fast.
So you wouldn't do that.
You wouldn't do that, because what does that mean? The word is breakfast. There are a lot of compounds in German.
I know.
Right. Let's take a little...
So, but if you have sandhi, you can combine anything. I mean, even compounds, right?
Yes, you can have the compounds within the compound, they will be joined together by sandhi, but there's still no grammatical ending. And then you can have a compound sandhiing with another word, which sandhiis with another compound and another word. So, in fact, you could have depending upon the combination, you could have something that looks like just one long word, you know, because if you don't know the sandhi.
So if you have two compounds now, they're next to each other, and somebody must have decided not to string them together, even by sandhi.
No, they would be strung together by sandhi. Okay, let me explain something there.
I'll it takes a time.
No, this is important. I want to explain something here that's
important. In most of the Sanskrit texts that you have, just to be kind to you, a lot of times they will actually break the sandhi for you. You know, so something that would normally be sandhied, they don't sandhi it just so that they can show you smaller segments. They break the sandhi for you. Whereas if I went through and put all the sandhi back in, these words would seem extraordinarily long. So many of the modern texts will, what I've noticed is they'll break a lot of the sandhi, but there's no rhyme and reason really to why they decide to break the sandhi. There's no rules for that. They're just trying to, maybe to help out. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, let's take a little break. Okay, Bandarpa. We're going to continue looking at the path of voice. And that is on page 43, 44. And we have done some of the sentences on page 44. But what I want to do is, using this handout, I just want to go through it with you so that you understand, okay? In light of this handout. The path of an impersonal forms. I have talked to you last week about the passive forms. I haven't talked about the impersonal forms. I'll probably maybe do that next week. But let me just briefly give you a few sentences on what the impersonal forms are. Okay? As you know, the passive form, using the sentence, the boy hit the ball with a bat, is the ball was hit by the boy, right? So the object becomes put in the nominative case, right? The ball is hit by the boy, and so the boy hits the ball. Now, one thing we haven't talked about is the difference between what we call transitive verbs and intransitive verbs. A transitive verb is a verb that takes an object. The boy hits the ball. The street sweeper sweeps the street. She reads a book. These are transitive verbs. They take an object. The verb is impacting itself or relating itself to an object. It's doing something to an object. Like, if I read, the question comes up, well, what do I read? Right? But what if I say, the sun shines? Shines is a verb. The sun shines, but it doesn't come to my mind, what does it shine? If I say, I read, then read what? But the sun shines. Or what about I cry? Or I smile? Or I stand? There's no object to standing. There's no object to crying. The verb falls back on the subject. The sun shines, right? The boy cries. I stand. If I say, I stand on the deck of the porch, I am standing on the deck. On is not the object, that's the location. Right? If I say, I am standing on the deck, that's where I'm standing. Standing still is reflecting back on me. That's called an intransitive verb. And if I put that into passive, it's called impersonal. Because now listen to this. If I say, the boy hits the ball, right? It's easy for me to say, okay, the ball is hit by the boy, right? Are you with me, Peter?
Yes.
The boy hits the ball. The ball is hit by the boy. Now let's try to put the sun shines in passive. Nothing comes, right? But nothing does come in English. We would have to say, it is shown by the sun. That's not in English, right? It is cried by the boy. It is stood by me. And it is standing by me. We don't have that construction. In Sanskrit, they have that construction. It's called impersonal, right? And the verb is just put in the third person singular. And it's translated, and if we translate in English, we would say the sun shines. We're not going to translate it and say, it is shine, it is shown by the sun. But in Sanskrit, you would take the passive construction, right, and then put the subject in the instrumental. So it would say, it is stood by me, it is shown by the sun, it is cried by the girl, or it is cried by the boy. We don't have that, but it's called the impersonal voice, and we'll see some examples of that.
So, intransitive verbs that are put in the passive voice are impersonal.
That's exactly called the impersonal, because there's no nominative case. If I say the sun shines, that's active, right? And then sun goes in the nominative case, and then shines. Suryaha prakashate or something. The sun shines. But now if I want to say passive, we would say, in transit, we would use the passive voice for shines. It is shown by the sun. So the sun would go into the instrumental case, but there's no nominative case there. Since I did get into this more than I thought. That's fine. I want you to go right now to page 44.
Can I ask one thing? Mm-hmm. The impersonal form is passive, right? Impersonal is just another passive form.
Yes. I'm going to show you some examples of it. On page 45, the top one, Balakai Rujate. Everybody see that?
45? Mm-hmm.
Page 45.
Mm-hmm.
And if I add, do the Sunday, it would become Balakaihi. Urujyate, okay? Balakaihi urujyate. Balaka is a child, small boy. Balaka. Balakaihi, instrumental plural. Balakaihi, masculine, instrumental plural. Ramaha, Ramau, Ramahi. So now it says, by the boys, by the small boys, by the small children, by the small boy children, okay? By the small kids, by the small children. Balakaihi, rud. Rud means to cry. And it's put in the passive. Rudyate. Remember in the passive, the rud happens to be a second guna root, which you haven't learned second guna roots yet. Doesn't matter, because in the passive, the root stays the same. So rud stays as rud. You add the ya, which is the passive guna sign, and then you add the atmanepada endings. So, rudyate. It means, rudyate, something is cried. But rud is an intransitive verb. So, if you say in the active voice, the young children cry. Now, if I cry is intransitive, because cry falls back on the children. It's the children that are crying. So, balakaha, say if I say balakaha, the children, then the root for rud, rudti, or whatever it is, the children cry. Okay, rudanti. The children cry. If I put that in passive, it's going to be by the children, balakaihi rudyate. It is cried. Now, that's called impersonal. So the it is cried goes into the third person singular. And the subject, the one who's doing the crying, will be in the instrumental, just like in normal passive construction. So, balakaihi rudyate. By the children, it is cried. You see, there's no nominative case there? Because in impersonal, when you take an intransitive verb and change it like that, there's not going to be an object, and the object would go into the nominative. So, balakaihi, by the children, rudyate, it is cried. Let's look at another one.
How come you're combining the plural and the balakaihi is plural?
Balakaihi is instrumental plural.
Right, but it's plural, and then rudyate is singular ending.
Yes, and there's no subject, there's no nominative.
Oh, so it doesn't. Yeah.
So, in the impersonal, there is no subject of the sentence, there's no nominative case. Because in the passive, the object gets put in the nominative case, right? The object was the boy hits the ball. That's the object. Mm-hmm. Normally that's in the accusative, in the active voice. The boy hits the ball. If you put it into the passive, Then that object goes into the nominative. The ball is hit by the boy. But those are for transitive verbs. If it's an intransitive verb, then you put the verb in the third person singular. Right? So it would be here, the children cry, it is cried by the children. Third person singular. And it's going to be, take the ya ending, which is the passive ending, plus the atmane pitta terminations in the third person singular. So balakai, by the children, rujyate, it is cried. Go down to the fourth one. Suryena prakashyate. Okay. Prakash is the first atmanepada, actually. But in the passive, you take the root prakash plus the sign for the passive, which is ya, plus the atmanepada ending. So suryena, surya is sun. Suryena is like ramena, by the sun. Prakashate, third person singular. It is shown. By the sun, it is shown. Impersonal. If I said, everybody see Suryena is by the sun? Mm-hmm. Does everybody see Prakashate in the passive construction in the third person singular?
And we know it's that as opposed to the Atmanepada
context. Well, first you know Prakash is the first Atmanepada. So if Prakash happened to be a fourth Atmanepada root, it would look exactly the same. But since it's a first, and then it would just be context.
So I know that it's not a present tense fourth conjugation Atmanepada ending, but rather a passive.
In this one, it has to be passive because Prakash is first Atmanepada. And it would be prakashate. And so the form would be prakashate. Mm-hmm. But in the passive, it looks always will look like a fourth, prakashate. Mm-hmm. So, suryena prakashate, by the sun, prakashate, it is shown. Go to the next one. Ishwarena bhuyate. Right? Ishwara. Ishwarena. Third person singular. By Ishwara. You see that? Ishwarena. Bhuyate. Ishwarena. By Ishwara. Bhuyate. Bhu. Bhu means to be, to become. Takes the ya, and then the atmanepada ending, bhuyate. It is become, or it is, by Ishwara. Just means Ishwara is. By Ishwara, it is.
It means Ishwara is, but not
because we don't.
Everyone is by Ishwara.
No. No, because bhu is an intransitive verb, right? So even if I say I am or I become, those two words will never take an object in the sentence. They're going to, like say if I say I am tall, that's an adjective to the I, right? Right. Or the old, the man is old. Old goes to, you could say the old man is. So that's not an object, that's an adjective. Where old and man are the same. If I say, you are tall, you and tall, tall is adjectival to you, the subject.
So Carol, if I were to say the sun shines, an active voice, there would be Suryaha
Prakashate. Yeah, exactly, Suryaha Prakashate. Does everybody have a grip on this at all?
Isn't it prakashate? What is my word? It's atmanepada prakashate.
Let me look at that. I have it as atmanepada, but maybe you're right. Let me check. Sometimes they're ubayapada. You're thinking it's prakashate.
I think so.
Yeah, you might be right. Let me check.
In my list of verbs, it says that the T is parasmaipada.
with pra. Just a second. It's kosh with pra is atmanetra. Prakashate.
It is atmanetra.
Here it says it's atmanetra. But, you know, sometimes there's a... Let me check. In this book, it's atmanetra. I'm wondering if kosh... Because pra is an upasarga, and on occasion, the upasargas will change the case ending.
Oh, no.
It doesn't matter when you're reading. It doesn't make any difference. Here they have in the dictionary they have kosh, just kosh by itself, as fourth atmanepada, which would be koshate. Or it can be first. Oh, it's first or fourth atmanesara. Kashat by itself is first or fourth, so it'd be kashate or kashyate. Let me look at the prakash. That's another thing, is that a lot of times roots are, like this one is first or fourth atmanepada. You can have them first, fourth, second atmanepada, some are parasmaipada, and sometimes the meaning changes because of the change in the root. I mean, the change in the gana. It will actually change the meaning of the root. But you get used to these things because they become known words for you. Prakash, first Atmanepada. Atmanepada. For Prakash, it's only first Atmanepada, not fourth.
There's no
Parasamaita. There's nothing listed. I'll never say that's not there, though. Yeah. Okay, so let's take a look at that. Suryena Prakash Yate. Right, that's actually, from what I just looked up, if it was just kasha, it's not kasha day. So prakasha day, it's only first atmanepada. So it is shown by the sun. Ishwarena bhuyate, it is by Ishwara. Ishwara is. Okay.
Kara, I just have this blackout. Is there, when do we use the parasmaipada?
There are, okay. Parasmaipada and atmanepada, you have to memorize it. A root is, you have to memorize the gana sign if you're going to write in Sanskrit, and you would memorize, okay, this root, buddh, is first parasmaipada. This root, kosh, is fourth atmanepada. You memorize it. In Vedic Sanskrit, it used to hold a meaning, and the meaning was this, that if a root took parasmaipada endings, it's because the word, the pada, was parasmai. For the sake of somebody, for the sake of another, the action, the verb that you're doing it for somebody else. It's not falling back on the subject. Whereas, and not in the sense of intransitive, but like say if I cleaned a house, but I'm a house cleaner cleaning houses for different people, something like that. I'm doing the verb, or I perform a ritual for the sake of my father, Shraddha, or something like that. In the doing of the ritual, and the doing of that action, it is being done for the sake of another. Then it would take parasmaipada. When I'm doing it, I'm reading the book, for instance, for my own enjoyment, as opposed to I'm reading the book for my child. Mm-hmm. Right? So, atmane, for the self, a word for the sake of the self. Mm-hmm. That doesn't really hold up at all anymore. Mm-hmm. So I'm just giving you that as kind of historical information.
Okay.
But as it is now, you have to memorize. This is 10th atmanepada. This is 1st parasmaipada, this is 6th ubayapada. Ubayapada means that it can take either parasmaipada or atmanepada endings equally. Ubaya means both. 10th gana roots, 10th conjugation roots are usually ubayapada.
They usually will take both. This isn't a problem.
And then when you get a prefix on these.
Yeah, but once you know all of these things, it's all so, so tight. It's really good.
Okay.
Yeah. Much easier to learn than English.
Oh,
I'm not quite sure about that.
I think it is. We grew up learning English, but you didn't. Did you grow up learning English?
No, but I learned Latin in school, and that was also quite a workout.
I mean, Latin's a workout. I learned Latin.
I mean,
also.
English was kind of, that was easy for me. I mean, yeah. I don't know. I mean, German seems to be very, it's just like, I mean, German is not easy either, you know?
No, it's not.
German
has a lot of case.
Yeah,
and
you have all these exceptions, and I mean, it's, yeah. And then you have also these compounds, and anyway.
But English is not regular.
Yeah.
No, everything's so irregular. That's the problem. So many idioms.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to this.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, so now we have an idea of what impersonal forms mean. So the passive and impersonal forms are made by adding ya to the root, and then appending the Atmanepada endings. Because of this, it can look like fourth Atmanepada, right? It can look exactly like the fourth Atmanepada, but context will always tell you that it's not. Will usually tell you that it's not. This means that there are no root-to-base changes as there are in the active voice, where the conjugational rules apply. Like if it's an active voice, then you have to, so, you know, it's the first conjugation. In the first conjugation, the middle penultimate vowel takes guna, ending vowel takes guna, and then you add the conjugational sign in the tenth guna. You know, there's guna of the penultimate or vriddhi of the ending, and then the aya is added. All of these rules. These rules, conjugational rules, they don't apply in the passive voice. So the basic rule is this. You take the root as it is. To that you add the passive sign, which is ya, and to that you add the Atmanepada endings. That's the basic rule. And then there are the special cases. Okay. Everybody see that?
Okay.
So now look at the second paragraph. The original roots are used, and not the substitutes, which some roots take before the conjugational sign, such as gutch for gum. You know, if we have the root gum, gum is always becomes gutch. Before in active voice, but not in passive.
What?
Those types of substitutes don't happen, so you use the original root. The original root is gum. So gum plus ya plus te gum yate, okay? Not gutch yate. Another example, tisht for sta. You're not going to use tisht, you'll use sta. Sta becomes tisht, okay? So, and sta, we'll see later, the long laws become e, so it'd actually be sti yate. But you're going to be working off of sta, not some form that sta takes by anomaly, where you have to just memorize it. Okay?
So gum yate is passive and gachate is active.
Gachate.
Gachate.
Yeah. I'll remember to put the signs in here. I'm going to add a lot to this. Another time. So let's look at the special cases. We talked about this a little bit last week, but just to go over it. If a root ends in r, short r, which is not preceded by a conjunct typo, consonant typo, okay. I was worried this morning, okay. A conjunct consonant, I'll give you a good sheet next week, which is not preceded by a conjunct consonant, r is substituted for it before the, God, sorry. This is the rule. If a root ends in short r, and it's not preceded by a conjunct consonant, like an example of that would be smr, smr, smr. That's a conjunct consonant. But if the root is just kr, just preceded by a single consonant, then that r goes to ri, kri, and be kri yate. Okay. I see this thing's almost useless, but. Oh, well. Let's go to the next one. The final E or U of a root is lengthened before Y, as G becomes G and shru becomes shru, as in shruyate. So before a final short e or short u, that becomes long before ya. I'll have lots of examples of this. Those roots of the tenth conjugation whose vowels take a guna or vriddhi in the active voice undergo the same change before ya. So this is going to be different in the tenth. Before the ya of the passive, as chur. Chur means to steal. Chur in the active becomes choryati. In the passive, it would become choryate. So this is the difference. It doesn't say choryate. You would expect it to say chur. It doesn't, because it's a tenth guna root. So if in the tenth guna root, if it takes guna or vidhi, it will continue to do that. If roots have a penultimate in or anuswara, it is dropped before ya, except in certain cases. A, as prashamps. I don't know what I was doing there. Is prashamsati in the active and prashasyate in the passive. Do you see how that anuswara drops off? In fact, I think you should throw this thing out. That's too many mistakes. The roots da, da, ma, gai, ha, pa, sta change their final vowels to e. I'll give you a lot of examples of that. Final long r is changed to ir, like str becomes stir, stiryate, and but final r is changed to ur after labial, pur. So listen, pr. Remember the pr becomes pur, purna, purna madaf. That less long of pur comes from pr to fill, right? So there's a few exceptions here in the formation of the passive, and so I kind of want to finish this thing that I'm doing and give you a lot of examples of it, so that when we're studying or reading the Atmabodha or these texts, I can say, this is the passive, this is the root. Do you see how the e becomes long e here? Or this is passive, sti, ate, it comes from sta. Remember, long a goes to e, and I can point these things out. So that's what this is for. It's not necessarily that I want you to remember it, but what I want you to grasp is what the passive and the impersonal actually is. Okay, and then we'll read a lot of give a lot of examples of it. Is everybody okay? Good. I'll go finish this off next week, and we'll look at the feminine. The feminine A and E ending nouns. Okay. Let's stop here. You are Puna Madhav.
Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.